Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
I mean, whatever. Like anybody else, I'll be excited when it happens, but I don't make a huge deal of certain individual records. And BT, let's focus now on Aaron Judge. You know, Judge, see, to me, hitting 400 is a big deal. Chasing a triple crown is a big deal. The all-time home run record, which he had a few years ago, major, major deal. Doesn't get much bigger than that. But obviously, he's chasing the World Series. Do any of those individual accolades, like a triple crown or hitting 400, mean as much to you as Aaron Judge trying to complete the puzzle by getting himself a World Series ring?
I separate the two. I really do. And I couldn't do that with Ewing, I admit. Basketball was harder. Quarterbacks are a tougher, you know, different evaluation. But in baseball, I've just finally come around to the understanding that there is an unexplained drop-off for many. And it's not just Aaron Judge. It's a smaller sample. And to me, I don't connect the historical accumulations with the isolated October failures enough where it diminishes and devalues what they do big picture.
What would get you more excited, Judge hitting 400 or Judge winning the Triple Crown?
I'd have to say four. Come on, man. Yeah. It's four bills, dude. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. What are we talking about?
Yeah,
here?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, those are real, legit, and it's not just a Yankee thing. That's in the entirety of Major League Baseball. Those records, like, I don't want it to come across as I'm just not a record guy. I am a record guy. I love the historic nature of baseball and the record, especially the way that it used to be. It's obviously gotten away from that a little bit, post-PEDs and steroids, all that stuff. But what Judge did a few years ago with the 62, that to me is remarkable. When you want to talk about the hit streak, when you talk about hitting 400, even a triple crown, but I'm with you, I think 400 would be cooler than a triple crown, which is wild to say. But I almost expect Judge to win a triple crown because he's that much better. Hitting 400, dude, that is a... I mean, that's a hard thing to do, if not impossible, especially in today's day and age. So I'm all for records, just not as excited maybe for the Mets' all-time home run franchise record, maybe because of where they're at, the bottom three, mm-hmm. as it pertains to the lowest total for an all-time franchise leader currently with Strawberry. But it just doesn't do much for me. But the big records that transcend the sport, that's where it gets me excited.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know I watched it before, and I don't know that I ever watched the whole thing, so I had a little time, not much, but a little time this weekend. I went back to, you ever see on Netflix Facing Nolan?
Yes.
Okay, did you like it?
Loved it.
It was good,
yes.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Learned a lot about Nolan Ryan that I didn't really know. And, you know, what was it? I believe it was eight no-hitters, at least seven. I think it was eight. And just kind of seeing him, you know, flirt with history and then conquer 5,000 strikeout victim Ricky Henderson. Yep. Remember that? like it brought me back to my youth this week in baseball, reading the papers, the association of numbers before any other sport. I didn't walk around saying, you know, Bernard King's averaging this or Ewing's doing that. I kind of knew, but it wasn't an immediate point of reference where I knew exactly what every day what Donnie was batting, what Guidry's ERA was. So the baseball numbers have always been very pertinent and relevant to me. But what bothers me, and I may have seen it on Sports Night last night, but I was kind of half asleep as I think they repeat it late, mm-hmm. and I fell asleep with the TV on. So Barry Bonds has four of the five highest OPS seasons all time. I think that's what I saw.
Yeah.
Right? Now, to be fair, they did recently, and I'm not trying to omit this, but I'm just like, I didn't know that these guys did this until they put it in the record book. They recently incorporated the Negro League numbers. Okay, so we have to adjust that. But if you keep it the way it was, not to exclude that, yeah. but the old school, like the old way, Barry Bonds, it was Bonds, and I think Babe Ruth. I think four of the five. Mm-hmm. How many of those seasons from Barry Bonds was he hopped up on roids?
Right.
The answer is every, because he didn't put up those numbers when he was a Pittsburgh Pirate. So what bothers me, the dilution. And the perception, I don't think that Aaron's going to, this could be the year he really does get the Triple Crown. As a matter of fact, he probably will, now that I think about this. But the point is that the jaded nature of what Bonds has done in the modern era is so unfair to somebody like Aaron Judge.
Obliterating the record books when it all should be Aaron Judge records clean.
Yep. Yep, that's my point.
He should have the all-time home run record, all that stuff. And by the way, who knows, where this whole thing ends up. But yeah, I guess 73, thinking back on that, the Bonds home run, that ruined what was for me as a kid, and even as an adult, one of the more fun things going into a baseball season. Will this be the year that somebody chases legitimately 60 home runs, mm-hmm. tries to break Roger Maris's record? Once Bonds obliterated what McGuire and Sosa did, then it just stopped becoming fun, and now it's unrealistic to think that anybody clean could get to 70, let alone 73, although Judge, what he did a couple years ago, is special. And by the way, the more I think about this, it's not me opposed to records. Maybe it's just more specifically the franchise record for the Mets, because it's not a very good one, because I did get behind Pete Alonso breaking the rookie record.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a big deal, the all-time rookie.
When he broke Judge's mark.
Yeah.
Well, let's face it, there was a little extra shot there when he passed over Judge.
Well,
a little
sure.
Yankee, man, come on, slide past the Yankee.
But that's, it's not just the Yankee thing, and it wasn't just a franchise thing.
Uh-huh.
It's all of baseball.
All-time thing.
Like Mark McGuire when yep. I was a kid. Like,
yep.
that is a big deal.
No question.
The franchise stuff, especially when it's a franchise that hasn't had success, certainly from position players.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that big of a deal.
I feel you, man. Listen, I remember this. I remember as Jeter was pursuing 3,000 and eventually beyond, as he was starting to hop over some of the names, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so the names that are associated with the top of the Yankee record book, not a diss, just the reality of the baseball situation, the names that are being hopped over for Pete, I mean, you know, I've seen Darryl hit home runs in a playoff game for the Yankees. Like, if Darryl was a Met forever, if Carter was drafted by the Mets instead of the Expos, if Keith was an MVP for the Mets in 79 instead of for the Cardinals, like, It would feel a little different. Now, younger Met fans, this is the hope, when Cohen bought the team, that will change. But that's going to take time to change.
The other conversation that we had, obviously, is about keeping Pete here long-term, and it's going to be difficult for the Mets not to be able to keep him here long-term now, although that'll be fascinating how it plays out, how he finishes, what the market is going to look like for Pete Alonso in the offseason coming off of a big year like this. It's hard to fathom now that if he continues this way, the Mets letting him walk, regardless of what the price is.
Yeah, I think there's going to still be in the room that still says responsible above the door. I don't think that the Mets will lavish him with some contract that is Nuttyville. They're not going to do it, because they're not going to have to. Like, they will do the right thing. I believe that they will try to retain Pete. Now, I don't know what Pete's motivations and missions are. Is he pissed at the Mets? But, hey, you know what? You guys didn't do this. Screw you. Now the Giants are going to offer me $100 million more. Peace out. Or $65 million more. The Rangers or whomever to get some, you know, because they need some offense. They're pitching the heck out of it in Texas, but they don't hit. I don't know the answer to that. But I do feel very confident, no matter what Pete does the rest of the year, I mean good stuff, that baseball is still very much aware of who he is. And there are limitations that go into that evaluation of Pete, which I think precludes a ridiculous, irresponsible offer that the Mets would have to be forced to either match or not match.
So we've talked about that. The other thing that we threw in there was the Knicks, of course, and their continued search here for a head coach. The latest report yesterday was that there was mutual intrigue between the Knicks and Jason Kidd. I still feel like that's going to happen, but there's a long way to go for that to happen, number one, then to figure out what the Knicks are going to do as far as the pieces may go, trying to trade for a big piece, bring in ancillary pieces, bench pieces. So there's a lot going on with the Knicks in their offseason, and we'll have Ron Artest, Meta World Peace, Meta Artest. He'll be coming up in about 20 minutes or so from now talking about the Knicks and their head coaching vacancy.
Buckle up. He's an interesting cat. Looking forward to it.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Chris is in Bay Shore. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Listen, as far as Pete goes, I think, Pete comes across as the lovable nerd that we all know and played with maybe, but... Yeah, I think it's going to come down to what he wants and how much pull he has over Boris. I think the Mets will not give him that crazy contract. I think they'll be smart about it, and I think it'll eventually come down to him. From an outsider standpoint, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that is going to try to get every dollar. I think he's got some real ideas about putting his Mets career, as a full-time Met and as a lifelong Met.
So.
I think that's going to matter in the end.
Well, what would make you say that, though? You got to give me a reason why you think that.
Where's the evidence?
Yeah.
That he's committed to being a Met, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's just listening to him. He just seems like a sincere guy. I don't know. But mm-hmm. I think he's a comfort kind of player. Some guys like to be comfortable. I think that's him. I think you put him in a different environment, and I think that kind of throws him off a little bit. I think he loves being a Met.
Here's the evidence, because you gave a lot of you think, and you hear him talking. Thank you for the call, Chris. We appreciate you checking in. Pete Alonso turned down a contract extension a few years ago with the New York Mets. Pete Alonso fired his agent and hired Scott Boras. Yeah. Pete Alonso was looking in this offseason to make bank. When the Mets were trying to bring him back, the reluctancy was not the Mets. It wasn't that the Mets didn't want him. It was that Pete and his agent were valuing...
They were unrealistic.
Looking to get more money.
Yeah.
So those are... That's not my opinion. That's not BT's opinion. Those are the facts that have happened. So again, I ask, what makes you think Pete Alonso wants to be a long-term Met?
That is being said out of hope, is what that is mostly derived from. And that's okay. I'm not taking a shot at you, Chris. Of course, you hope that Pete's here for a long time. That's why we love being fans. I want to go back to one thing that Chris said, though. He said it all depends on how much pull that Pete has with Boris. Guys, could we please get something straight? Boris works for Pete. When it gets to a decision where it's get off the pot or stick on the pot, you know what I mean, that's Pete. That now Boris is going to collect all the information, and his binder's going to be the size of, a car. And he's going to hit Pete with every possibility. What this amount of money can turn into with investments. Not even just baseball stuff. The tax implications based on playing in New York or somewhere else with different tax structures. Pete Alonso is going to make the decision. And if Pete Alonso is being led around by Scott Boras, then Pete Alonso's a dope. Because Pete Alonso has accomplished too much as a baseball player. Now, you've got to let your agent do their job. Otherwise, don't have one. But it's his decision, and it's his call. It's Boris's job to provide the information, and then Pete makes the decision.
Similar to what we saw with Juan Soto, where there were some reports saying that maybe the agent recommended a different situation. Ultimately, it was Juan Soto's decision.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he was happy to make that decision.
He was. Yeah, I hear you. Good job sliding that in there, buddy. Did you get the 250 yet? I know you're taking bows because he's had a good series against there. He's still 246, whatever he is.
On base six of six times.
First time he's ever done that in his career, by the way. Yeah. He looked really good over the weekend.
Was it really first time?
Yeah, first time I heard them say that. I think Gary brought that up. This last time, I thought maybe like another time, but no. I get it. But the difference between Soto and Pete is that Soto has now officially had a bit of a nomadic career. Now, that's going to change if he stays with the Mets forever, but he's been hopping around. Nationals, Padres, Yankees, Mets. Pete, drafted by the Mets out of Florida, Met minor league farmhand, Met rookie record home runs over Judge, going, you know, so there is a different template, and that you would think a much deeper, no doubt, connection, Pete to the Mets than Soto to anybody, and that's where he's going to have to say, well, Scotty, so I got the numbers, I know what we're looking for, just step back for a second, also, if he wants to be a Met.
Also, Soto had his pick of where we wanted to go. There were multiple big-time offers that wanted him. Some mm-hmm. that he turned out like, don't even bother with the bigger offer because we're not going there.
Yep.
Pete has not had that.
That's true.
He's starving for multiple offers. There were only two teams that were even remotely connected to Alonso.
You talking about Toronto, the other one?
Yes. Yeah, Toronto and the Mets.
Who was third? I mean, Toronto, we thought we were making a big push. Hoff, do you remember for the Rico or anything? It was obviously the Mets and Toronto. Was there a third team that was hovering around Pete a little? I remember there was a report, Yankees might kick the tire. I never thought
was
real.
Was it the Astros or Cubs there at some point? But I don't think
maybe
it was ever
Cubs.
Legit.
I think the Cubs were early. You remember anything, off?
The only thing that I remember hearing was Bryce Harper legitimately said he would move to the outfield if they brought Pete Alonso.
I do remember
base.
That as well. Yeah. Phillies. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Now we'll see what the market's going to be, but it's not like he had his pick of teams. Bob is in Pennsylvania. What's up, Bob?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Hi, Bob.
Bobo.
Last time I called, the discussion was about the pronunciation of my last name, so we won't go there today.
Which was it again?
What was it again?
Bowden.
Oh, yeah, Bowden. Yeah, I remember that. Bowden, Bowden, yes.
Go ahead, Bob. Anyway, on Pete Alonso, I think what happened in January, the excruciating process, proved what's going to happen in the offseason this year. Steve Cohen wanted to keep Pete Alonso. Basically, the deal was, he says, look, I'm going to pay you market value plus a little bit of a premium.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was, Pete and Boris...
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
We're asking for like a 300% premium in terms of the number of years that Major League Baseball was willing to pay for the Pete Alonso who existed in January. Now, of course, it's a different Pete Alonso, but I think the deal was the same. Cohen is going to pay Pete Alonso market value plus a little bit.
Yep.
And Pete Alonso is going to stay. And I think everybody needs to calm down about the situation.
Well, I don't think anybody's I don't think anybody's nervous. I think it's just a conversation based on the twists and turns a year ago. I think he's staying here.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about it. Pete has now cemented the relationship. And by the way, the last thing Cohen wants to do is to muddle Pete's mind with a contract negotiation in midseason.
Yeah, I don't think that nothing needs to be done now, and nobody's saying that, and thank you for the call, Bob. We're just projecting it forward. I'm not sitting on it. I think some people have said that, oh, extend him now. Some, what? Are you insane? But neither party would want to do that. Mm-hmm. Let it play out for both sides. If I'm Pete, if I am Pete Alonso and I'm looking to make the most money, and I believe that's what he's looking to do, and I'm not begrudging him for that. That's what the goal is. I mean, we look at it as like, oh, you want to be with our team? Oh, you want to go make the most money possible.
It's a job.
Yeah. It's a job. You want to be taken care of and given what you believe you are worth. And he believes he's worth a lot more than what he was able to get from the open market. But if I'm him and I'm having a monster year, you better believe I can't wait to get to the offseason and say, okay, now what do we have?
Yeah.
Now, maybe there's not going to be much at the end of the rainbow this year. Who knows? But if there's ever going to be a time where you're going to have more of a market, it would be coming off of a year like this. And then that should then drive the Mets price up. And it's going to be up to the Mets to determine if they want to pay what the market value is or go above and beyond. And if there's somebody that goes way above and beyond what the Mets think, then it's going to be up to Pete to decide if he wants the Mets offer or take the more money to go elsewhere.
Yeah, true. I mean, so last year, Pete had emotional leverage based on the home run with Devin Williams. This year, he's going to have statistical leverage. And that's going to change the tone of the negotiation. No, not radically. It's not getting 7-8 years. I don't think he's getting 2+ or 2. You know, I don't think he's getting much more than that. But it's going to change it a little bit where, you know, knock, knock. Hey, Stevie, it's Pete. I'm back. Guess what? It's going to be a little bit of a different tone as they're exchanging numbers this year. And listen, you've heard the expression, adversity builds character. Everybody's heard that.
Yes.
It builds character. I think in Pete's case, it's revealed it. That's also a subset of that expression. Most people say builds character. I actually like reveals character better. I think it's a better indication of how you respond to adversity. Sure, it could build it, but it reveals character. And what Pete went through a year ago, the ridiculous high with Williams and the almost unimaginable lows most of the season.
Yeah.
Doesn't that reinforce the notion that while he's an imperfect player, that he's kind of perfect for the Mets? I think it does.
It could have gone one of two ways. He could have went the other way and been like, this guy's a disaster, and he'll never be the player that he was. Or you fight through it, you get through it, you come out of it, and he's better than he's ever been. I did not believe that he had this in him. Yeah. I thought after the two down years, it was over for Pete as far as being that prolific. You know, the power numbers, whatever.
I know what you're saying.
And he's been better than he's ever been before. That does show me something.
He's come back like a dog. He's got a little dog in him. He's showing us he's got some bite there, which is, he's always getting home runs.
Well, that was a concern last year. I was waiting for the bite.
I know.
Going into last year, I thought that he was going to do what he did this year.
You did. I wasn't so sure. You did.
The year.
I know.
And then he was as bad as he's ever been, with an unimpactful 34 home runs, 88 ribbies, until the playoffs. And now it's the best version of Pete that we've ever seen.
Listen, he's going to be here. I think it's going to all work out, you know. And he's definitely you know, learned to catch the baseball better. Just, you know, hope it's not runners on first and second against the Dodgers in the NLCS and looking for a little 3-6-3 double play. I wouldn't want that to happen.
For Pete?
Yeah. I don't like the way he throws.
Oh, defensively you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah,
they got to figure that problem out.
Yeah, I don't know. Although he made a nice throw over the weekend, like off balance at home, like almost like a shortstop.
You give him credit. He's worked hard defensively.
He's adequate, dude. He's just, he doesn't look smooth. He doesn't look polished. But if anybody, now throwing, I just hate the way he throws, but catching the ball, blocking the ball, whatever. If anybody thinks he's less than adequate, they're not watching baseball.
A week away, next Friday, we'll be doing a show out there, which was so much fun. Last year, getting to interact with the listeners of the fan and whatever. Mm-hmm. It was all the diehard sports fan in the area. And then being out there Saturday, I'll be doing the SNY show first and then the fan show. I know you're doing, as you mentioned, the podcast, so it should be a fun day. We're waiting. What are you going to call him, by the way? I feel like Ron Artest.
I'll call Meta because that's his name.
I know, but
Meta.
His name was Ron Artest.
It was.
And now he's changed.
And he used to work overnights. Now you're on to the midday. Things changed, dude.
Yeah, I've still got the same name.
No, he doesn't.
I wouldn't call him I wouldn't call him a Nick because he played for the Knicks 1 year.
I remember that, too.
Or you could say Laker, okay, for a while. Or Pacer, like, that changes. But my name is, I knew him as Ron Artest. And now it's not even Meta World Peace anymore, right?
No,
it's
that part confused me. I believe he's changed. I believe he's kept Meta and he's added something. And
all right. Formerly known as Ron Artest, he changed his name to Meta World Peace in 2011, then to Panda's Friend in 2014. And then Meta Sanford Artest is currently, he changed that in 2020.
I was just told, by the way, with Hoff, he's going to dial up in about a minute or so. So we'll get Meta up there. It's a lot of name changes there.
The only thing I think of with Artest, I remember vaguely the St. John's days. But
no,
I
was
just
so good.
I remember wanting him so badly for the Knicks.
Too.
And the question wasn't whether the Knicks were going to take him. It was whether he was going to be there.
I know.
And then he was there, and we're all like, oh, my God, our guy Artest fell to the Knicks. And those dopes took Frederick Weiss.
I think it was 16th overall. I think that was the number.
And Artest turned out to be one of the best defensive players in the league.
I think of his generation. Right. I mean, Ron, nobody, he was a man amongst boys. People were afraid of Ron Artest. And I mean, grown badass men in the NBA. Ron Artest was he ticked to his own beat. He could throw hands if he had to. He was physically strong and just in terms of locking you up defensively. And I think the thing that, which is why I'm interested to really talk to him, I think because he was so strong and early on, listen, he made his own reputation early, of course. He complicated his own life and then he had to change and show people that he changed, which he did. I don't think he ever got the respect that his IQ as a basketball player was absolutely through the roof. Beast.
And he joins the show right now. Meta Sanford Artest, formerly known as Ron Artest, formerly known as Meta World Peace. Meta, how are we today? You're on with BT and Sal on The Fan in New York. How's it going?
Man, everything is great. Man, thanks for the introduction. Obviously, I changed my name from Ron Artest. That's my dad. My dad is the senior. I was a junior. My son is the third.
Okay.
And then as I went through evolution and became a Buddhist and, you know, growing up in Queensbridge Projects, it's been kind of difficult in terms of what I was trying to do in my career, even though I love the people of Queensbridge Projects, the number one people in my life. But I was trying to do different things in my life, got really inspired by Buddhism. And then I did that for about, I guess, 7 years. I got married, my wife, I got remarried. And then My wife, her last name was Sandiford. So, you know, we kind of took on that. Just, I'm really about women empowerment. But I go by Meta World Peace. I say all that to come back to my stage name is Meta World Peace.
Okay. So we got that cleared up.
It seems, Meta, that you've gotten your life back on the rails. I think those who follow you, whether it's St. John's roots back in Queensbridge, obviously before that, and always Queensbridge for you, I get that. It seems like you've been going well for a while, but I think some people are still a little surprised that you stabilized and that you found your footing. Before we get to the Knicks stuff, which we will, how did you find your way? Because it was getting pretty dark pretty quick for you. What happened, man?
Well, you know, life is really interesting. Not to say I had it any rougher than anybody, whether you're rich or poor, female or male. My situation was a little bit different, you know, being that, you know, right before I went to St. John's, my older brother went to jail for drug trafficking, 10 years flat. You know, there was no need to fight it, right? And that, you know, and different things like that. So that's a part of the lineage history. Then there's a lot of many other things I don't want to talk about. You know, we saw the things in the news, you know, where 57 of my friends in Queensbridge got arrested, you know, and different things. So when you bring in that, when you're bringing that mentality to the even LaSalle Academy, all private Christian Brothers school, all boys,
yeah,
then you're bringing it to a Catholic university such as St. John's, and you doing things for the city, but in the back of your mind, you know, you got this edge. It's what you would think a rapper is. You know, a lot of rappers are not what they say they are, right? I'm really that, right? And from that perspective, it's hard to navigate professionalism from street at times, especially early in your career. But I tell you something, once you find your footing, you know, you go back to school when you retire, you get 40 companies in the portfolio, you bring on the former CEO of Boost Mobile as your CEO. You never give up on your life. And that's the thing, something about me, as much effort as I gave on a basketball court is as much effort as I give in life, if that makes sense.
It does.
Even if I lose, you know, losses, they give you the best lessons. And that's what people don't understand. If people could go back in my career and talk about, oh, you did this, you did that. Okay, I'll take all of those as losses.
Did he drop off? Ron, did Meta drop?
Maybe we had a bad connection there with the Zoom.
Yeah, we'll get him back up there. I think Hoff may have stepped out. Dove, can you take care of that?
Okay, either way.
Let's we'll get him up. We're good.
He's okay.
Oh, my internet. All of a sudden, my internet wanted to be like unstable.
That's okay.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, I was just saying, you know, I think the losses are the best lesson.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This is in life.
Meta, what we wanted to have you on, obviously. Actually, there's a lot of questions I want to ask you. I've never had a chance to talk to you personally, so we're happy you joined the show. But the main reason why you were in the news, you were kind of talking about the Knicks head coaching vacancy and maybe that you would be somebody who could take on that role. Where are you at with that? Why do you think that you would be a good candidate to fill the Knicks head coaching vacancy?
Well, one, let me just start with shout out to Tibbs. I'm really proud of the work he's did. Shout out to Leon Rose. I'm really proud of the work that Leon Rose did and Allen Houston, all those guys. I also want to say that this is not intended to put extra pressure on any of the Knicks organization because I love the Knicks organization. I'm from New York. I do a lot with the Knicks. What I do want to say is since 1999, I've been wanting to be a Knick, actually since 1996, ever since these teams been coming into the Garden, coming into my city of New York City and winning. And I just don't like that. I never liked it. I wanted to come in 1999 and win a title. And everything I said I was going to do in 1999, and keep in mind, I'm speaking from a place of passion. People are not in my shoes. You know, people didn't go to St. John's in 97 through 99 where the city actually wanted you to play for the Knicks. So people got to understand, I got a totally different perspective than what anyone else has because the city wanted me to come here in 1999. The city did not want you in 1999. This is only a one-of-one experience. So I'm speaking from a place of passion because I want people to understand how I feel. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, being someone who's very protective of New York City, of New York City basketball, right? You know, and I felt like I was going to come in and lock up. I felt like I could have came in and backed up Latrell and backed up Sprewell. But people don't understand how I think about the game. They think that, oh, I'm just aggressive and physical. But no, I'm thinking about backing up Latrell. I was always a cerebral player. And I think that would have been a great backup for Latrell and Sprewell and got them over the hump because I proved as a 19-year-old rookie I got the most ever steals in the first year at the Bulls, more than Jordan, right? I was locking up all stars as a rookie. So imagine what I would have done in the Garden, and then imagine imagine putting that Knick jersey on and Defensive Player of the Year in the Garden. Imagine when All-Stars is coming into the Garden, they're not getting what they want. Actually, they're leaving with 10 points or less, right? Yeah. And this is what I was guaranteeing that I was going to bring to the Garden. So this passion, this is not nothing new. You know, you don't see me looking for any other job like this Knick job. You know, there's a lot of jobs out there, right? So this specific job is extremely important. And I say that because I was on vacation in a small town in Vancouver Islands, where I always go. And I was just at a coffee shop. And I saw this tweet and I said, let's get on it right away, because these things happen fast. As you know, people get fired and get hired. So for me, I wasn't necessarily talking to the Knicks front office. I don't have a relationship with the front office, but I needed to throw my name out there, and I'm confident I can get the job done.
Okay, so here's what I want to ask you, man.
I love that, by the way.
That was phenomenal, man. My eyes are darting back, like Sprewell.
For the record, Mehta, you're talking to two people who wanted the Knicks to draft you badly then. And
I love the Knicks, too, by the way. I don't want just not put pressure on them.
I mean, at the time, I'm dying for the Knicks to take you, and they take Frederick Weiss that stiff, and then we got to watch you be Defensive Player of the Year, all world stud.
With the Pacers, too, though.
Yeah, right,
oh, my God.
Bulls and
Pacers. Oh, no.
It's all good. Hey, listen, things happen for a reason. So here we are. So before you came on, Mehta, I was telling Sal, I said, listen, you know, I think there's still some people, not a ton, but still some, who they think of you and maybe more Ron Artest rather than Mehta. And they're like, you know, lunatic, uncontrollable. I don't think that you always, now, I don't mean from basketball people, but I don't think you always got the respect and the adulation that you deserve for your IQ and your intelligence. All right. So when you say you want to coach the Knicks, I think for some it sounds crazy. For me, it's not quite as crazy, but I want to ask you this question. You are a defensive player, defensive great. No, that's great. Yes. You watch this team in the playoffs. How are they going to win a championship with Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson on the court playing defense or trying to? If you're coach of the Knicks, what would you do different?
Well, you know, I didn't even put two and two together that I actually won the DPOY with the Pacers. I love the Pacers. That really stings, huh?
Yeah, and then also, it does.
When I get to the Pacers, who, you know, we was the number one team in the league with 61 wins, right? Not only was I the best defender with Jermaine O'Neal, but I also was one or two on the offensive side.
Yes.
You know, people forget that brawl year, I was averaging 24. So from that perspective, I got two perspectives on the game. I got offense and defense. You know, some people, they say, you know, you're just a great defender, but name just a great defender that averaged 18, 24, 20, 18, 20. And then even leading with Kobe, you take a huge back seat. But if you look at the playoffs before that year, I was at 25 in the playoffs against the Lakers. So I could score that rock, right? So from that perspective, on the defensive side, you know, when you're trying to win a title, look at the Detroit Pistons the year they won it. Nobody knew they was going to
beat Wallace, yeah.
With Ben Wallace. Nobody knew that they would beat the Lakers with Karl Malone and Shaq. Mm-hmm. Look at this Pacers team. People didn't think they would even beat the Knicks or the Cavs or the Bucks. So from that perspective, no excuses, right? You work with what you got. You can't look at somebody's body type and then all of a sudden say, oh, I need you to be this type of defender. It doesn't work like that.
Okay.
Your body type and your ceiling is your ceiling. What you got to do is create solutions, right? You know, nonstop, you know, cerebral, scientific solutions to get you over the hump, and it's going to feel painful. Your body's going to hurt. Mentally, you might be exhausted, but that's what you do. I don't let someone's body type and abilities stress me out.
So you're talking about Towns specifically? You would get him in better shape? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, I'm just talking about in general. Let's just say, assuming that we didn't have the body type like a Giannis. A Giannis,
right.
He could show a high screening role, as a big hand-attached show. And then when you go, when the guard rejects the screen, he could actually come on the other side and show again. That is elite defensive athletic ability.
Yep.
Not everyone has that.
No, well, Cat doesn't have that. Cat doesn't have it. He doesn't have it.
And it's okay.
No,
and
it's not. Okay.
Let me tell you why it's okay.
Yes, go ahead.
I'll tell you why it's okay. The reason it's okay, because under duress, you can't be stressed. You know, when you can't think about during a game what you don't have. So my mind doesn't work like that. My mind is, I work with what I got. So I'm not the coach. I'm not even in the runnings yet. I have not talked to front office, with the exception of sending out messages and being very annoying.
It's all good.
I haven't been annoying, I must admit. But from that perspective, I'm speaking from if I had what I had. I'm not speaking of who I need. You know, I'm speaking from this is a dream perspective, yeah. But I don't want nothing else right now because I'm not coming into this game, you know, begging. I'm going to work with what I got. And then if a Hail Mary was to come my way and I became the coach, then we could address all that later. I just think it's too early for me to comment on that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Interesting. But now you got to understand where we're coming from. And I know you do because we saw the video. We saw the video about a week or so ago. And we're like, we got to get Matt on the show, man. So obviously we're happy that it worked out. Now you would tell the Knicks organization what you need to tell them. And I understand you don't want to divulge everything now. But there's Knicks fans out there who are like, huh, even if he's not the head coach, I don't know, maybe get him on staff here. I'm just curious, like what you saw, without naming names, you could be as,
okay.
You know, do you think that this roster, because I don't, and I love the Knicks, I don't think they're a championship roster yet. Do you, with whatever tweaks you might do, do you think it's a championship roster?
By a game 7 championship, yeah. I think this team was capable of taking it to a game 7. You would have had to be perfect. You would have took some L's along the way. But when you look at the team, it was a, you know, this is no disrespect to Tibbs. I'm just talking about the game. Mm-hmm. But when you look at what happened, a 3 seed against a 4 seed, home court advantage, lost home court advantage, by the way. And when you look at some of the defense that was played in the end, there was a lot of small errors, a lot of closeout errors, a lot of closeouts. You know, you go, when you're closing out to a shooter, you sprint and then you chop.
Yep.
You sprint and then you chop. And it's things like that. I don't want to get too much into it.
You're right, though. I get
these
it.
These little things. And this game is a game of inches. And that's what people don't understand that I understand. This, when we was playing the Boston Celtics, we was down 13 in the third quarter in game 7. This is a game of inches. So you got to do everything right. So that's why I say it don't matter who you got. This team, they totally could have been in position. Now, keep in mind, I played for the Pacers. I got a really great relationship with the Pacers ownership. I never go to a Pacers Knicks playoff series because I'm too conflicted, honestly. But I do want to coach the Knicks. And like I said, what I saw was some little errors. There was a lot of, you can go back at the end of those games and you'll see those little errors. And this could have easily been, you know, 1-0. Could have easily been one.
It should have been.
Meta, so why not, if you want to coach, and I know it's specific, your passion for the Knicks, by the way, BT and Sal on the Fan, we're talking with Meta World Peace, formerly known as Ron Artest, of course, former NBA great, defensive player of the year, St. John's, all that accolades, looking to get his name in the mix for the Knicks head coaching job. I know it's specific to the Knicks, your passion, but if you really want to be a coach, wouldn't you accept maybe an assistant role or something like that, even if it were to work your way up to get to a point where you could be in a position when something like this opens to go take advantage of that opportunity?
Well, let's just say you wanted to be a commentator, or you wanted to take your career to the next level as media, but you didn't get the opportunities. Maybe it has happened. So you had to create your opportunities.
Right.
Right now, you can go on ESPN right now, if I'm not mistaken. You could go right now on ESPN or TNT and do your thing because you prepared. That's what I had to do. I was trying to get different positions because I want to be a head coach. I have a straight goal. But anytime someone would call me, would say they're going to call me, they never call me back. 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 So then I can't get the experience if you're not calling me back. If you're not calling me back.
Yeah.
So what did I do? I prep. I'm a different type of competitor. So I coach Cal State LA girls for the last 7 years. That's what people don't understand. Yes, it's Division II, but it's the best opportunity for me and on an even playing field. When you talk about where we came from, from not reaching the NCAA tournament in 20 to 30 years to us getting there, taking them to the NCAA tournament 2 years in a row to last year coming out being ranked top 10 in Division II women's basketball. That is coaching. That's coaching. And then yeah. When we played against Stanford as Division II, and when you look at what the Stanford coach said, is on video, is live on Twitter. She said, this team is so well prepared. Now, who's the associate head coach of that? Who name did not get recognized? So you got to keep in mind, I don't have an agent, and shout out to all the agents. I personally don't have one. So I'm not getting these opportunities to get the experience. And we also saw people, the experience I just told you I have,
mm-hmm.
turning a program around. There's a lot of people that have not came into the game with that experience. I don't want to mention names.
No, J.J. Redick, I mean, Jason Kidd, a ton of them.
Yeah.
I don't want to mention names. It's not fair to them. I really love those guys. But I'm saying from me, from my perspective, I have experience. So that's why I'm coming into this with confidence.
Okay, so that is good, too. Meta, let me ask you this here. When you, a player like you, from your philosophies, which are non-negotiable. Now, of course, you're going to coach college girls, maybe a little different level of energy, yes. Like what you say to men. We get that. You're not going to cross that line, clearly.
Yeah.
But the modern athlete is very different than you were. Could you, how would you balance the softness that has infiltrated the NBA today, man?
Well, I think if you look at what's happening right now with the game, and I want to answer your first part. So girls, you definitely coach girls different than guys. That's true. But you do get a lot of different emotions with girls that you won't typically get with guys and vice versa. So with that, from that perspective, when Phil Jackson coached Rodman, Jordan, Pippen, or myself, Kobe, Powell, those are all different emotions. A lot of the times you're coaching emotion. I don't want to get into that. I'm going to give away all my philosophies. But so a lot of the times it does have carryover because you there's a lot of lessons throughout the process. To the second part, what was the second part of your question? Sorry.
Just about how the NBA's changed since even you talked about. How do you deal with the softness?
That's just communication. One, you communicate, you have your meetings with your players. Where's everybody at mentally? Like a Ron Artest, for example, I'm not thinking about money. If you come to me as a coach, a new coach, all you're going to hear is a dog. And when you look at the NBA this year, there's a lot of dogs. There's a lot of people getting paid, but it's a little bit more aggressive than it was, which is why Rick Carlisle's having success. Because in the middle of a transition, let's call it the last 3 years, we've seen a shift in physicality, right? And with that shift, there has to be adjustments. So Rick Carlisle adjusted to the shift in the rules. If you notice, it was more touching. Was there touching a couple of years ago?
No.
So from that perspective, since the league is going that way, the players will follow. So it's perfect timing for me because I don't have to sell someone on being a dog. You have to be a dog in today's NBA.
Why?
If you can see it. So from that perspective, the work is done for me there.
That's an interesting answer, man.
It's phenomenal. Wow. It's a phenomenal answer. So, and we're learning a lot about you, and I'm sure the listeners are as well. So, Meta, why do you think, do you think there's a perception of you because of the name changes?
Before you get to that, let me answer this third question.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
About will I accept a role, right, other than head coach? Because you threw like a sub question in there.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say this. In this moment, respectfully, no. Because in this moment, it's an opportunity to bring the Knicks to a title, which I've been trying to do since 1999. In this moment, I read a tweet that said the head coach is gone. So in this moment, my focus is there. In another moment, I'll have a discussion on other things. But right now, the focus is, I just want to say that, the focus is head coaching.
Yeah, but Meta, hold on. You might not get that other chance. Like, if I want to be on the air and I got a microphone in Montana and I'm 23 years old and I'm like, nah, I'm not going to go to Montana, then I could easily, and people who know me, they could say, well, how bad do you want to be on the air? If the Knicks say, hey, you can run the G League or whatever, and you say no, people say, you know what I'm saying?
Good question. Right. So I tried to coach G League teams. I got turned down. I got turned down from G League teams. I also got turned down from my own alma mater. So let's just start there. I'm trying hard. And then, but I'm not giving up. That's the key.
Gotcha.
And then also what I want to say in this moment is a head coaching opportunity. But I want to say in another moment, let's say if they hired someone, but I want it to be me, but let's say they hired someone, that's another moment. That's another opportunity. But in this moment, the opportunity is head coaching. In another moment, I'm not saying I would turn that down, the opportunity.
Okay, I got you.
So it leads me to my next question, Meta, because this has been fascinating listening to you here. And I didn't even know about you coaching. I don't care if it's Division II or what.
A lot of people coaching.
Yeah.
I was arguing with Charles Barkley yesterday about this. Charles Barkley said, you don't even coach. I said, Charles, that's not true. You're putting the wrong narrative out there. We literally had a five-minute argument.
Good, put it in his place.
So it's great. So then I want to know, Meta, from afar, why, if you're somebody that wanted to get back in, not just shoot right to the top and go coach the Knicks, I know that's your primary goal right now, but if you were trying to get back in at St. John's or other opportunities over the years, do you think it's the perception, the name changes, the malice at the Palace Brawl? Like, what is preventing Ron Artest or Meta World Peace from getting an opportunity when you sound great to me?
No, absolutely, 100%. It could be, I'm a, I'm coming in hot. People know I want to be a head coach. And this is the one thing I tell people. There are people out there that you don't know that I want to be a head coach. So there's people out there that are looking for opportunities to say, oh, this is an opportunity for me to get the job. I got to come out publicly because I don't want people to misunderstand what I'm saying. My goal is to be a head coach. So if I coach under your staff, you know, my goal is to one day be a head coach. Now, I don't want anybody's job. You never heard me come in the media and talk about another coach, you know, and about not even on this opportunity here. I'm still bigging up Tibbs. I love Tibbs. Right. So from that perspective, I'm searching opportunities. I'm not worried about what opportunities I don't get. I can control what I can control. And right now I'm ready to head coach. You see, whether I get this job or not, I'm going to do something next year to perfect my craft as a head coach.
But why do you think it hasn't happened for you at those opportunities?
I think because I'm, you know, I think alpha, having a little bit of alpha, but I'm an alpha, but I can work for alphas. I can work for females. I can work for non-alphas. I worked at Circuit City my rookie year.
I remember hearing that, dude.
I worked at Circuit City my rookie year. I can work for people.
You did. It's true. I remember
but
hearing
I gave
that.
But I gave it 100%. Like, yeah. If I'm coming to work at Circuit City, I'm coming bringing my best. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If I'm playing a role with Kobe, I'm bringing the alpha best, the best role player. You see what I'm saying? So from that perspective, I think, you know, I would probably have to be with somebody who could say, Meta, shut the hell up.
And somebody that you respect. And so somebody that you trust, obviously. So I just want to get back to something you said before. You mentioned your alma mater, St. John's, obviously. I mean, that team, Bootsy, I love that team, man. Was this before Mike, so it was Mully, it was Mike Anderson, obviously Rick the Savior here is phenomenal. Were you in the mix? Oh, he's the best. Were you in the mix with Anderson, like after Chris? When did you want to go to St. John's?
This is my transparently, where do I want to coach transparently? St. John's, Lakers, Knicks, Pacers, USC, UCLA, Cal State, LA, Division II women's where I'm at today. I can coach women's or men. I love coaching women's.
Yeah.
You know, I've applied for the Bucks head coaching job. I've applied I reached out for the Charlotte head coaching job. I reached out for the Fever head coaching job. I reached out for the Sparks head coaching job. I reached out for G League head coaching jobs. And I can't get upset if I'm not getting the response.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't stress me out because my focus is different.
Yeah, but hold on. Meta, St. John's didn't even respond to you? St. John's?
I don't want to talk about it too much, but it's okay.
Okay. No, I know you guys are good now. I just wanted to see if okay, I got you. All right,
Meta, you mind hanging on for a few minutes? We take a quick break. We got a lot more that we want to get to.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.